Welcome back to the KPO podcast. I am your host, Jagisha. This week I am talking to author Gwendolyn Keist. She is a Bram Stoker award-winning author, and her new novel, The Haunting of Walkwood, is a chilling book about three childhood friends who miraculously survived the night everyone in their suburban hometown turned into ghosts. That's right, it's a ghost story. I don't often talk about horror novels on this podcast, but I thought this would be fun to do. And of course, there are not many stories out there about a haunted neighborhood. We've got haunted towns and haunted houses, but a whole neighborhood? Haven't seen that yet. So let's talk to Gwendolyn for a little bit and learn more about this book. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Well, to start us off, I always like to tell my listeners what the book is about. So just give us the spoiler-free synopsis.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Haunting of Walkwood follows three girls who are the only survivors of their neighborhood, which they left one night to go back to college. And the next day, the whole neighborhood turned into a ghost. And now it's 20 years later, and one of them is finally decided that she's going to go back and try to unravel the mystery of what happened.
Yeah, so when I read the summary about this book, because I always look at what new releases are coming out. So I was reading the summary and I thought, this is very cool, a haunted neighborhood. I mean, you hear about haunted towns and haunted houses, but a haunted neighborhood is something new.
I think so. Because when I came up with the idea, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen this done. And then, you do the Google search to see, has this been done? And I couldn't find anything. So yeah, I don't know. There's been a haunted neighborhood. So this is the first haunted neighborhood.
So what inspired the story?
I've always loved the suburban Gothic. I think it's so interesting. I love Sofia Coppola's The Virgin Suicides. I loved David Lynch's work like Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks. And so I'm always thinking about the suburban Gothic and just how creepy suburbia can be, how it's supposed to be so friendly on the surface, but that's not necessarily the friendliest to everyone. And so I was really thinking a lot about that. And in my research with The Virgin Suicides and Sofia Coppola making it, it led me to this book called Suburbia. It's a photography book by this photographer named Bill Owens. And the pictures are these very interesting black and white pictures from the 1970s of suburbia. And they're both very banal, very commonplace, but also very strange and feel a little bit haunted. And so from there, I'm like, I really want to make a neighborhood like that. I want to create my own neighborhood. And then I was like, I do a lot of historical horror, and I promised myself I would do something in modern day, but then I kind of cheated a little bit and made the neighborhood in the past. So I still got a little bit of historical horror in there.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the three characters. So you got Talitha, Brett, and Grace are the three girls that left the neighborhood.
Yeah, so Talitha is our main character. So she's the one who is going back now 20 years later. She's Talitha Walkwood. So she and her family was the first one to move into the street. So that's why the street is named they call it the Walkwood vicinity, but it's a Walkwood street. And so the haunting of Walkwood is both the street and her. And so she's going back. Her mother and little sister were still there. So they're like within this ghostly neighborhood. They're still trapped there. So she's going back there to try to reach her little sister. And so she's our viewpoint character, and then is her, off and on again, best friend, Brett, who escaped the neighborhood and has no desire to go back whatsoever. And then their third friend, Grace, who has gone back once and came out and was very traumatized by whatever she saw over the last 20 years and has basically become kind of like a shut-in, kind of like a hermit from the world. So yeah, so those are our three characters kind of all coming at this from a very different sort of perspective.
Yeah. So, and then there's like this fourth character, our fourth girl who is around the same age as them. So yes. Enid is very mysterious, has, I don't want to give any spoilers, but it has a little bit of power.
Yes. So Enid is the kind of mysterious fourth friend that we learn a little bit about. She kind of is still a bit of a mystery throughout the story. She's kind of, like you said, like has some power. Again, don't want to give away too much, but she is still within the neighborhood. So she is not out of the neighborhood. She stayed in the neighborhood. So they meet up with her again as the story unfolds.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting the way you just sort of like the little pieces you learn as you like what happened that night and how they're interconnected and what, all the different family stories, because there's a lot of there's the theme, family is sort of a major theme in this book.
Yes, absolutely. I would definitely say that family is a very major theme. They each have their own kind of relationships, kind of toxic relationships with their families, but they're all very different. And so, yeah, so that is very much something that comes up throughout. So Talitha's relationship with her mother, Brett's relationship with her mother and her stepfather, Grace's relationship with her mother, and then Enid's relationship with her father. So it's like, yeah, so there's like all these different kind of dynamics playing out.
So what draws you to write sort of period pieces? Because The Rust Maiden was, I believe, the 80s, and then Reluctant Immortals was 1967. This is what, 20 years ago? So like 2000s, I say, with The Neighborhood. So
I think horror in particular lends itself so well to different. I mean, I think a lot of genres do, but for me, like I've always loved historical horror. I love things that, take place somewhere in the past and kind of looking backwards at different times. And so much of, I feel like when I think about the past, I think about how it's very haunted. I think about, the past being a haunted place for people in the present. And so because, horror can be so much about the supernatural. It feels like a very natural fit, in my opinion, to have, to work with the past when looking at horror. And sometimes it's easier to look at things that happened a long time ago and the horror of those than having sometimes look at what's horrible today. And you can comment on what's going on today through a lens of the past and how things can be very cyclic. So that's one of the things that draws me to it. I also love research and just being able to kind of research the past. With this one, it wasn't as much because, I remember 20 years ago, obviously. So, that wasn't as much research to say when I wrote, Reluctant Immortals, which was 1967, California. That was a lot more research to kind of get those specific details. But with Haunting of Elkwood, a lot of it is, from memory. I did do some research here and there about things, but it was mostly, it was the easier kind of writing in the past when it's like, okay, I remember this. I'm just writing from memory. So that's a little bit different. But yeah, I do. The Rust Maidens took place in the 1980s. So that's like, early 80s before I was born. And so there was a lot of research for that as well, which was really interesting and fun to just kind of see what's changed and what stayed the same. I think that's part of the allure for me too. Like, how much have we changed and how much are we exactly the same?
right, yeah. So how do you decide on like what time period like fits for what book?
That's a really great question. With Reluctant Immortals, I felt like the 60s would be such an interesting time to look at the characters of Lucy Westenra and Bertha Antoinetta Mason. So from Dracula and Jane Eyre, it just seemed like it was such a tumultuous time, and that might be a place where, it would make sense that these characters would be, that such strange things happened in the 1960s, that having these kind of strange characters show up there, it would all sort of feel, it was almost such a fantastical time in California in the 1960s, which I still felt even after researching it and kind of, finding these specific details, it still felt like, I still think of it almost as like a fantasy time in American history. So for me, that really worked. With the Rust Maidens, I really wanted to talk about the Rust Belt, and in the early 80s is really when, the Rust Belt really became what we think of as the Rust Belt. So that felt like the right time period. And then with the Haunting of Elkwood, I was just wanting to have characters that are kind of closer to my age. And so it made sense, when was I a teenager, or when was I like, in my late teens, early 20s? So that was kind of the natural way for that. So really, I guess I come to it from very different perspectives each time. I don't think I've ever been asked, how do I choose a time frame? And that's, I guess it's just dependent very much on the story.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So, and how it fits together. So, now do you have like a favorite time period that you think you might want to put into a story?
Like I still haven't done the 70s yet. And the 60s and 70s are different. I think sometimes people think of them as being the same, but there's a lot of different things that happened in the 60s versus the 70s. And so I love that. I've written some short fiction in the 1950s because I feel like that's like, a very interesting era for American history. Because I do a lot of times focus, I know the most about American history and being an American, I feel like that's a place that I can at least write from, experience of me or experience of family members and things like that. So yeah, the 50s and the 70s, I'm really interested in. I'd love to do something, maybe in the 1920s, that would be really such a fascinating time in American history as well. All time, I guess, is fascinating, right? There's always something interesting happening no matter when you look. But yeah, probably the 50s and the 70s are still two that I'd like to write about at some point.
I mean, yeah, the 70s would be great. There's and even the 20s, the Roaring 20s. World War II is a period that I read a lot because there's a lot of historical books written for that time period, so.
Absolutely.
Sana, do you have a favorite horror movie?
Ooh, a favorite horror movie. I probably have a lot. I was just talking to somebody about Picnic at Hanging Rock, which I really love, and is such a strange kind of weird horror movie. So we'll go with that right now because it's on my mind. I love that one.
Very nice. All right, so this is your fourth book. Now, in terms of your writing process, has that changed? Have you? Yeah, I guess that's the question. Has the process changed?
I mean, I feel like it's a little different for every book, depending on how much research goes into it and things like that. But yes and no. I feel like sometimes I plan them out a lot more, and sometimes I kind of just go and see where it leads me. I usually am more grateful if I plan it out more because I feel like that's easier on me than to find out halfway through of like, oh, I really needed to do this at the beginning. So, but yeah, I still try to do some enough plotting in advance, especially for my longer fiction. My short fiction, it's just, each one, it's a lot easier to, just go with it and see where it goes because you don't have that much to have to keep track of. So it's easier to manage without a lot of drafting ahead of time. But yeah, I mean, I think that I do still try to do a lot of planning ahead of time and then still trying to leave it open-ended enough that if it goes in a different direction, it can still do that without, being too rigid. So, yeah.
Now, so with the short fiction, do you prefer the novel or do you prefer the short fiction?
I prefer short fiction. It was what I read growing up, so it's like I've got a real soft spot for it, and I love horror short fiction in particular. I think it's such an interesting medium for horror of kind of getting in and getting out that you can really just pack in this kind of almost like this punch. And so that's probably my favorite. I love horror novels though too, and I do love writing novels. So, but I think if I had to choose, it's definitely short fiction. My first book was a collection of short fiction. I definitely want to do another short fiction collection. I love collections. I think horror collections are so great.
Oh yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I got my start with horror with, I guess Stephen King is probably the first sort of horror, and he's sort of the master of short fiction in my opinion.
I think his short fiction is great. I feel like people get upset if you say this, but I actually like his short fiction better than his longer fiction. I love his short stories. I came to those were some of the earliest short stories I ever read, and I just love them. I think that some of them are just so great, and they've stuck with me for all these years. I started when I was like 13 or 14, so it's like, 25 years ago. And so yeah, like I completely agree.
So let's talk about a little bit of writing horror. So what are the elements that go into a horror, I guess, or does horror really have any tropes like some of the other genres do?
I feel like, we have tropes like the vampire or the werewolf or ghosts and things like that. So, I mean, we definitely have those tropes. But, in terms of specific tropes like plot tropes, I mean, I'm sure there are definitely some, but I feel like one of the things I love about horror is that it can be so many different things that, it doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be a monster. It can be a monster. You know, it could be a jump scare, but it could also be quiet horror. And what I tend to write tends to be more kind of quiet horror, more, I always say, filled with existential dread, like existential horror of like the horror of kind of being human and being in this world and trying to navigate it. One of my favorite authors is Shirley Jackson, and that's very much the kind of horror that she has. It's more like how awful it is to have to like just live in this world and now and figure it out and how to, you know, get through day to day. And to me, that's like some of the most interesting kind of horror. So for me, you know, I think the elements for a horror novel is whatever really scares the author. I think whatever unsettles the author, oftentimes they can write it in a way that can unsettle the reader. So really just bringing in what unsettles you? What do you feel dread about? What, you know, what are your fears? And I think that that is where like some of the most interesting horror comes from.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So most horror movies, like whenever I watch them, the ghost and supernatural don't scare me, but when you show me a slasher and I am scared because it's a human person and that can actually happen, I think is
Yeah.
my
Yeah, a lot of times that's the stuff that scares me the most. Even if there's something supernatural going on, it's the interactions between people. It's the stuff that, you know, people turning on each other in times of like chaos or something. That kind of stuff scares me the most because, like you said, it can happen. There's that connection to reality there.
Now, do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do. I think so. I think there's like energy left over, whether it's actual like people there, just energy in a place. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I've had a few weird things happen. I don't know if they're ghostly or if I was just saying to somebody or I was just tired because your eyes can play tricks on you, right? If you're tired, so you don't know. But like, yeah, I think so. I like the idea of there being like ghosts and, you know, the kind of continuation of energy. So yeah, I'll say yes.
So what's next? Do you have a new project already that you're working on? A new
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on a novella and a novel right now. So, like, hopefully they'll be done at some point in the next few months and get them out to publishers, you know, and all that fun stuff. But yeah, so definitely working a lot of short fiction. You know, I've got a lot of short stories that have come out in the last year and are slated to come out this year. And I also write short nonfiction about the horror genre. So, always trying to do something, always trying to keep busy.
Yeah, so is a novella set in a, is it another period piece? Or the novel, I think the novel, sorry, the
No,
novel.
but it is dealing with the past. You know, it's people dealing with past stuff. I always say, like, you know, I love stories where people are coming back to where they're from. And like, you know, it's like that's a trope, right? Across literature. It's like, you know, a story starts when somebody comes to town. And I always find it interesting if that's a person who used to be in that town and now is coming back. So it's kind of got that little bit of a trope going on. I love that one. So
So what do you tell an aspiring author if they want to write horror?
you know, write what you want to read, write the scary story that you want to exist in the world, and, you know, write what frightens you, write whatever is, you know, unsettling to you, write that, because I feel like that's the story that you're going to be most excited to write, and that's going to be a story that people are most excited to read.
So aside from like looking at people's past and family, are there other themes that you enjoy exploring in your writing?
I do. I love ghost stories a lot, but I love a lot of them, the kind of monster tropes. I've written, you know, vampires. I'm working on something, a couple things right now, dealing with werewolves. So I love those tropes. You know, a lot of my stuff is very feminist. There's a lot of queer characters, so those are definitely, you know, themes that are always in my work. I do a lot of body horror because I find, you know, again, the existential dread of being human and living in these human bodies can be scary sometimes. So yeah. Yeah, so those are like a, you know, pretty big themes. And I do a lot of also reinvented fairy tales, like retellings of fairy tales or retellings in general. So those are all things that I feel like pretty much hallmarks of my both my long fiction and my short fiction.
Yeah, I love retelling of fairy tales, especially when people go back to the Grimm fairy tales, and some of those are just great. And then when they bring it into the modern time period, I think it's really well done. So, what are you reading, and what do you recommend we read?
Let me think. I've been blurbing some great stuff lately. So, it was just nominated for a Bram Stoker Award, so I'll definitely mention The Daughters of Block Island by Krista Karman. That's a great one that came out last year. AC Wise has a new novella that is going to be coming out soon called Grackle. I really loved that. And yeah, so I'll do those two. So The Daughters of Block Island by Krista Carmen and Grackle by AC Wise.
Oh, nice. I'll have to check those out. I have not heard about them, so those are all new.
Yeah, Grackle isn't out quite yet. I think it comes out later this year, but keep an eye on it because that one's really great.
So, last question is there anything that I should have asked that I didn't ask, or you'd like to just kind of something you'd like to add?
No, just thank you so much for having me. This was lovely. Thank you so much for inviting me on here to talk about The Haunting of Oakwood. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I saw the summary and I was like, oh, I really need to figure out how to get in contact with this author. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
That's our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview. We have The Haunting of Walkwood here at the library if you're interested in reading. Coming up next week, I have author Jennifer Bell, and we will be talking about Swanna in Love. Until next week.